Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, broadcasting to you today from Palm Harbor, Florida, adjacent to Clearwater, where the town isn't old enough to have any history, but the people in it certainly are. As no matter where you go, there are people riding their little scooters, reminiscent of the old episode of Seinfeld where George Costanza was racing the little old people around. Goodness gracious, that is exactly what it is like in Palm Harbor. But I digress. We have a wonderful guest with us today. Think back historically now for a second. In exactly days from now, it will be the 100th anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic. And as you remember, the most famous person to live through the ordeal was the unsinkable Molly Brown. Today, we have her granddaughter, Helen Benzinger, who is here on behalf of my good friend who I'm supporting in the 10th District of Georgia, Mitch Swain. So I'm going to just see right now. Helen, have I got you on the line?
How are you?
I am doing very well. How are you to this day, young lady?
I'm doing great, and thank you for that compliment.
Well,
I haven't been called young lady in a long time.
We're just grateful that we're not in the scooters, aren't we?
Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
All right. Now,
absolutely.
I am very excited to have you on this program, and we talk about recapturing American values, restoration of the belief system that made our nation great, and the repudiation of the values that think that we should be a second-rate nation and that if you're running for office, you need to be a criminal, whether Republican or Democrat, in the sense of being corrupt and not being the kind of people that we can trust. And I know that you don't feel that those are the kind of people that we need. And as a result, you have left and come down to Central Georgia to help Mitch in his campaign, for which I want to commend you.
Thank you.
I just love people who just kind of like take the bull by the dadgum horns and, all right, we're going to kick tail today and, you know, take names and here we go. So, tell us a little bit about yourself and why you have abandoned your life essentially for 3 or 4 months to come down here and help Mitch win the seat, which just by the way is an open seat and
correct.
Is certain, I suspect that it would be very difficult for the Democrat to win. So if we can win the primary with 6 other people, and most of them are pretty good, at least pretty good, but they aren't a stud like Mitch. And that's why we're backing him. So go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I came to Georgia, down to Athens, to help Mitch campaign from Wyoming, where I live. And everybody's asking me, why in the world did you leave Wyoming to campaign for someone who's not just going to be your congressman? And here's the answer is I really don't believe that any local congressional or senatorial race is local. Because once they get into the Congress and once they get in the House and once they get into the Senate, they're making decisions that affects everybody. Everyone in the whole country is affected by their decisions on foreign policy, do we go to war, do we, you know, all these issues that are not local. and they affect everyone in the country. And
well, that's
absolutely for certain.
And, you know, we have, you know, the last Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, is up there in the San Francisco Bay Area, and her worldview affected everyone. Thank goodness.
Absolutely.
Thank goodness that she was ousted. And
how many crazy women can California send to Washington? I'm starting to count. We've got, what, four so far right now? The nuts. Barbara Boxer.
I get
you know?
It.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway.
All right,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, I came out here to help him because first of all, I read his plan on a friend of mine sent me his website and said, read this. And I said, and what do you want me to do? She said, call me back. So I read it, and I read it twice, and then I read the frequently asked questions probably three times. And I called her back, and I said, what may I do? And she said, would you like to go to Georgia and speak? Because that's what I do. And so I said, absolutely. So I hopped a plane, came out here. I've been out here for a week. I'm going to be out here for about another week, and then I'm going to go back and start praying. Not that I haven't been already, but, you know, I'm
going to
do what I can while I'm here.
Good girl. All right, listen, I just want to also introduce you to my brother, Richard, who is in the suburbs of Boston, who's just come on the line. And Dick, this is Helen Benzinger, the granddaughter of the unsinkable Molly Brown, who, as you'll remember, the Titanic went down literally 100 years ago this month. We're 8 days from the 100th anniversary, which is certain to be a news topic even on the liberal media. This is the sinking of the Titanic was a big deal and, you know, made obviously a couple, you know, some really great movies. I frankly like both of them. I like the old one just
and,
new.
Yeah, A Night to Remember was the best. Hi, Dick, how are you?
Helen, I'm fine, and I would just like to say that it's nice to have Jack introduce us after about 2.5 paragraphs of additional
information. Well, I just want to let you know, Dick, that Mitch has told me all about you, and we just don't need to talk about that, okay? We can just skip that and go on. Anyway.
All right, Helen, you've been out there with Mitch. And you know, he tells his plan and what he wants to do, but he's not one to really laud his character, which I want you to do while we're speaking, number one. And number two, I want you to give us a feeling of what is happening in the 10th district in this pivotal election, because Mitch is the kind of guy that we need in Washington. We need, you know what? I want someone who, when I ask him a question, will dadgummit answer it straightforwardly. And number two, not lie their ass off about it, which I'm very tired of people doing.
Absolutely. I was at a few of his, they have some forums here. They call them debates, but they're really the moderator asks a question and everybody answers it. And we went down the line, and Mitch is the last one alphabetically, so he's, you know, the last one to answer. And the first guy gets up and said, we need to do this. And everybody in the crowd goes, yeah, you know, of course we do. Brilliant, brilliant. The next guy says the same thing. We need to do this. And everybody gets excited and said, yes, we need to do this. And it goes on and on and on. And then Mitch gets up and says, we need to do this, and here's how we're going to do it. Knocked me over, right? He's the only one that gets up, and instead of just repeating the rhetoric, he gives you his plan, and then he tells you how he's going to do it. Not just, I'm going to save America, or I'm going to bring down the debt, I'm going to save Social Security. He gives you the plan on how to do it, and it's the most rational, reasonable plan and I mean, I'm overclamped now because I'm so excited about it, but it's the only one that has made sense to me in all the years that I have been in politics, which actually has been a very long time. My family started us in politics. I was about six. And by eight, we had to know all the senators and congressmen and what party they were with, what their philosophy was, and their stance on three issues. You know, so I've been doing this for a long time. Mitch has also impressed me by the fact that he is... Let me tie this into Titanic real quick. When Titanic hit the iceberg, the captain was asleep in his cabin. Guess who's asleep? The captain of our ship of state. Everybody's asleep in Washington. Mitchell is a proven leader. You don't get to be a colonel without having proven yourself first. He's a full-bird colonel, which stands for a whole lot, a whole lot. And I want to send Mitch to the bridge because he's awake. He is on it and ready to do this. And we need men like him in Congress. We need more leaders. And he's the first one I've seen in a long, long time.
And he's going to tell us how to get around the iceberg.
Well, here's another thing. If they had, listen, really, if the Titanic had stayed the course when it saw the iceberg, if it had stayed the course, and of course you correlate that with this country and the course our forefathers gave us, if they had stayed the course and not veered, interestingly enough, to the left, I can correlate that too, it would have hit the iceberg, but it would have stayed afloat. It would have hit only three of the five warp-strike compartments, and it could have floated into New York. But it sideswiped it. It veered away from its proven course, and the whole ship was slashed on the side and opened all five watertight compartments and sank. I see a great similarity between that and this country. We're veering off course.
Boy, if there isn't, if that isn't true, I don't know what is. The difference. You can see it in just about everything. I mean, you know, just in the values. When my brother and I were little boys, every day we would play with our little cap pistols, and we'd play cops and robbers or cowboys and Indians. And
perfectly harmless.
Now they take away little, you know, for a kid to just even take his finger and point it at somebody, they expel him from school. And yet,
they go
home and sit for hours on their duff, you know, with their Xbox and blow up people so they get fat instead of being out. And, I mean, you know, that's just a small, minor example where, you know, the whole value system is under attack, severe attack, and it requires that people do something about it. I mean, Dick and I get on this radio show, and we've been doing this for several years. And our goal is to help people see the truth. And it's because there are just so few places where people actually get it. And, you know, we're committed to helping restore the values of the American society. And our ancestors came. They came for what? They came for religious freedom, the freedom to worship God the way they wanted to. And now it's illegal to mention God's name in many venues. This
isn't that insane?
Repudiates our value system, and it's something that we have to just change. You know, do we want to force what we believe on people? Of course not. I mean, that never works. But we don't want to have to apologize for who we are under any circumstances.
Absolutely
nor
not.
Will we?
The others don't apologize. Why does nobody else have to apologize but conservative Christians?
Well,
you know,
tell me
that.
I mean, the whole thing is there's so many people out there that are demanding tolerance, but they're the least tolerant of anybody. You know, you look at the Mozilla former CEO. He had to resign because he gave $100 to an organization that promotes one man, one woman marriage.
Great.
You can't even make a donation to somebody that you, and something you believe in, without being having to lose your job. How insane is that in this country? And tell me, what's more important to education, Common Core or somebody pointing a pistol? Detrimental to our education? The core that teaches the Second Amendment as the right of every American to carry certain kinds of guns? Really? They're rewriting it.
Pretty amazing. I noticed that when President Obama, spoke with Pope, he said, well, they agreed about a bunch of stuff. Well, Pope Francis, to his credit, wasn't about to be used as something to bump up Obama's sagging popularity. And he said, ixnay, that wasn't true. And here's what I thought was really interesting. He gave the Pope gave President Obama a gift of a blessed rosary. So what did Obama do? He turned around and gave it to Nancy Pelosi just a
Are
couple
you
of
serious?
Days later. Yeah,
oh
he regifted. He regifted a rosary and to Pelosi, who just got an award from Planned Parenthood because she's in such a the same week as a stalwart proponent of abortion. This is an affront and in your face.
First of all,
I mean, there are only 70 million Catholics.
I wish people would read what Margaret Sanger wrote about her intentions with Planned Parenthood. That's all they have to do is read what
she
wrote.
Well, they aren't going to do it. They aren't going to do it. Well, people are going to do what they're going to do when it comes to that. It's sad, but life is just not that precious. But that's something that that's not a fight that we can fight right this second, because it's just way down the pipe. We've got to, before we can do anything, we have to stop essentially the rape of this nation by those from the left who are busy regulating us into a socialist nation. And that's why we have to stop them. It isn't just that we need, people like Mitch in the House of Representatives, because he's a Republican as versus a Democrat. We need people of character who are not willing to bend their knee to evil things. Mitch won't.
Mitch won't. And Mitch has Republicans that are against him because of some of his parts of his plan. He's got Democrats
for him. Part of the reason for this is the full captain in the Marine Corps. That's in the Marine Corps. There aren't many of those. That's a big deal to be a captain.
Actually, he's a colonel.
Why did I say captain? I meant colonel.
I don't know.
It isn't a big deal to be a captain. There are a lot of those, but there aren't many.
No, there's a lot of captains. There are very few full-bird colonels. There's a lot of lieutenant colonels running around, but not full birds.
And of course he's that because he knows how to say, okay, we aren't just going to do this, but these are the steps necessary to get to the full objective. So he is a person used to command, and that's
absolutely
what we need in Washington.
And
God,
he is
like
one of the few people that this country can send to Washington who's had experience writing foreign policy. That amazes me.
Well, that is interesting. Mm-hmm. He was in CENTCOM, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
and
that's Central Command. That would have to do with the Middle East.
Right. He has been writing foreign policy about the Middle East. Now, you can write foreign policy. That doesn't mean anyone's going to follow it. But he has been writing it for the last 4 years of his career. He only stepped down into the reserves so he could run for Congress. He felt that, you know, moved. But he was in there for 27 years. That's a long stint. That shows dedication.
I know it. You know what?
And resolve.
When you sit down and have coffee with Mitch, he doesn't look like he's a whole lot older than 27. That part I don't like.
You just want to smack him, don't you? He's just so cute. Like, smack
I mean, it's
face.
Just not fair.
Yeah. No, it's not. No, it's not. You should see his mother. She's
all right. Well, tell us.
Oh my God.
Tell us what. Tell us what you have on store for the next week, and what's going on with the campaign, and where people.
By the way, you can Google
Mitch Kong for Congress, Mitch Swank for Congress, and
it's SwanForAmerica.com. Yeah, SwanForAmerica.com.
And the four is FOR.
Correct. Am I allowed to correct you on national radio?
You may correct me.
Man?
If you didn't, you'd be the first woman that I've ever known that didn't correct
me. Okay, well, then I'm in fine company, I'm sure. I'm the great-granddaughter, not the granddaughter. All the grandchildren are at least six feet under. Could be further. You know, there are a few. And the other thing is the 100th anniversary was in 2012. This is the 102nd.
By a year.
Hmm?
Two. Almost. So it's, okay.
It was 1912, so this is the 102nd anniversary.
Well, then, I definitely needed to be corrected. Thank you for doing so. tell us what you're going to do for the next week while you're here. Where are you going to be and where people can...
So next week, I think we're concentrating on a ground forces campaign, and we're going to be going to different counties and going to be knocking on doors, businesses. I'm just going to be walking around and talking to people about him. I don't know if there's a set place this week. Last week, we had about five or six of them, and this week, I think we're concentrating on, not just events, but on talking to people, Jack, I don't know if there's another event this week. I don't think so.
Well,
isn't that awful?
Here's the thing. You don't need many people to win a primary. You
exactly.
just need to have people that are motivated that will actually say, okay, I'm going to go to the poll and vote for you and do it. Because if there's a runoff, which I suspect there will be, it would be Mitch and one other person's, and you'd be able to weigh the ideas, and it'll come through much more clearly that Mitch has a detailed plan for some things, and the leadership capacity to get some things done, and America has had many good congressmen from rural America. And, some of these guys get up there and just do a really fine job. I think of Trey Gowdy there, from South Carolina. The guy's brilliant. But he's not smarter than Mitch. And Mitch is that same kind of ilk. Someone
Mitch
who
is just
is
outright brilliant.
Yeah.
Say
what
he really
wants.
Is. Yeah. Yeah. And I just, we so need leaders. And I want to put Mitch Swann on the bridge. I want the captain up there or the colonel. But I want someone in Washington who can lead and who can, make a plan, give a plan, tell them what he thinks, tell them how to do it, because everybody goes to Washington and says, we're going to do this. Nobody tells you how. Nobody gives you the plan.
Yeah, that's right. This is, when he started, it was kind of a long shot because this is his first time in politics. And he really originally comes from up where Dick and I do, up in the Boston area. I live in Atlanta. That's my home now. But long shots are kind of the thing. I mean, tonight the you know, the NCAA basketball champion is going to either be the University of Connecticut or the University of Kentucky, and nobody picked either one to be in the final.
Right.
One was
exactly.
One's a 7 seed and the other an 8, I think, and there are 6 and 8, one of the two. And long shots, when they perform, they can gain some momentum and win. And I believe that Mitch has a substantial chance of winning this election. And the people from the 10th district in Georgia, if they vote him in, they will never regret that they did. You know, I talk to people all the time in Atlanta, and we have over in DeKalb County, we have that one guy who thought that that if you put more Marines on Guam, it would tip over, and he's such an embarrassment. And we had Cynthia Kinney.
Was she from your district?
Yeah, she was. These are people
there
are just filled with graft and corruption. We don't need any more of that. We've already got enough people that are starting with the President of the United States.
Thank you.
And,
absolutely.
You know, and his wife and the our top law enforcement officer in America, the Attorney General, frankly, belongs in prison. And we have this kind of corruption at this level has got to go. We cannot survive this kind of foolishness much longer. We just can't. And that's why, we really have pushed this pretty hard. And the reason is this. We're really a couple of guys, and, some people listen to us. We're on Facebook and Twitter, and, people follow, and they say, okay, we like this. But we can't influence great things. So what we've decided to do is to work really hard to try and influence one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can help, I went to Georgia. My daughter just graduated from there, and she just got her master's degree from the University of Georgia. And,
congratulations to her.
Love the University of Georgia. But we need a congressman that's from there who's going to stand for the truth and fight for justice and try and make this nation as strong as it was when we were kids.
Oh, wouldn't that be lovely? Wow.
I'm going to give you the floor now. I've been talking a while now. So you just tell us anything else that you want. We've got just another minute and a half.
I just want to let people know, especially in the 10th district, not to overlook this guy. He's someone who only comes around once in a great while. I have not met, except for my grandfather, General Gulledge, I have not met a man who has more integrity, who is more devoted to his children. He's a single father. And he has two boys, and his daughter has cerebral palsy and is autistic. She can't walk, she can't talk, she can't feed herself, and he's there taking care of her, putting her in the bath, putting her on the john and taking her back up and changing her clothes. And, he does it all. He is so devoted to his children. He's devoted to his country. You can tell that by 27 years of service, and he's still in the reserves. But I would trust this man with my life. He served in Iraq. He's not just a pencil pusher. He knows how to lead. He is honest. I have never, you know, I've only been, well, okay, let me preface this by saying I've only been talking to him for about 2 months. We've talked on the phone. I've been following him, and then I've been out here and have been able to meet him personally. I'm staying at his friend's next door, and I've, you know, I'm just so impressed with him. I don't impress her easy. I'm an old dame, you know, and
good for
I
you.
Have
all right, listen, I'm going to have to cut it off because we're out of time.
Oh,
and, you know,
you're
going to
cut me off, but I'm an old dame? Thanks.
Listen, thank you. And Helen, God bless you. Dick, God bless you. And God bless the United States of America.
United States of America. Amen. Bye-bye.